Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Hello, everyone, and I apologize for the late start. We were having some technical difficulties, and that's why we are just beginning now. I appreciate your patience, and I thank you for joining me today. I was planning on having an amazing woman that I met at the farmer's market. She's one of the staff at the organic stalls, and unfortunately, she's not able to make it. And before I play the music too, I want to apologize. The pictures I took at the farmer's market, the files are too huge to upload, but I promise you that I will be uploading them as soon as I can get them edited during the week. So, again, if you're just joining me, I'm actually going to be sharing some things from Camille's blog and hope that we have her here on the show with us in a few weeks.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but find. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I wanna be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
Yes, I'm so excited again today because guess what? We're going to be talking about food, 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 and more food. I tell you, I am on this quest of getting everyone to become healthier because I am so enjoying this new lifestyle awakening that I have adopted. And today I'm going to be sharing some information and reading Camille's blog. I'm hoping to have Camille on the show in a few weeks. But her blog is glutenfreevegan.wordpress.com. So it's glutenfreesoyfreevegan.wordpress.com. So I'm going to be sharing some information from there. And I took some photographs yesterday at the farmer's market, and it was my intention to upload them to this episode. Unfortunately, all the files are too large. So I will need to get them modified so I can upload them for you to see all the amazing pictures that I took there at the farmer's market. And I want to remind you to be part of the conversation. 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And I want to encourage you to just join us in this conversation. The chat room is open, up and running. And I want to also share with you two recipes that I created today, and that was my dinner. And I hope you, it will be in my book, but I just want to tell you how delightful and fun it is to just go in the kitchen and to just create new dishes. Last week, you heard me mention about buying a red Russian kale and a new squash, and I didn't know what the name of that squash was. Well, the name of the squash is Delicata. Delicata, that's the one I told you had the yellow and the green stripes on it, and it's delicious, it's sweet. So today, Sunday, I created a new dish. I made sweet potato and squash casserole. I used two varieties of squash. I used an acorn squash, and I also used the Delicata squash and some sweet potatoes. And I clean the vegetables and just dice them up. I diced the sweet potato. I left the skin on. I did the same thing with the squashes. I left the seeds on, but if you don't care for the seeds, you can remove the seeds. I added some turmeric powder, some ginger powder, some cinnamon powder, some cumin powder and cumin seeds, some black pepper, some garlic, and you can use either fresh garlic or garlic powder. And I put a little Miss Dash in it. I didn't use any salt. I don't care for salt. But if you use salt, you can add some sea salt. And I put some olive oil, and I made a layer. I put the sweet potato and at the bottom of my pan. And then I put the acorn squash in the middle, and I put the Delicata squash on top, and I sprinkle all the dry seasoning in, and then I poured some olive oil, and then I opened a can of organic coconut milk, and I poured it over it, and that's why I baked it until they were all tender and came together, and it is delicious. So it's the first I made that, and I'm going to be adding that to my cookbook too. And now I made a salad. I bought some round carrots at the farmer's market too. So I made a salad with the spring organic spring green mix that I bought at the farmer's market, some oregano mix I bought at the farmer's market, some of the red Russian kale, some round carrots. They look like little balls, and you know, same size as the radish, but they are yellow. So the round yellow carrots I put in my salad. And I put a radish. All those things I bought at the organic stand at the local farmer's market. And I cleaned them and I cut them up and I wash them and I put them in my salad bowl, and I add my salad dressing I told you about that I made. My salad dressing is made from the fresh basil, fresh garlic, olive oil, and apple cider vinegar. And I've made that. You remember a few weeks ago I mentioned that I bought some fresh, I bought $5.50 worth of fresh basil from the farmer. And it was a lot of basil because the basil are 25 cents a stem. So, you know, $5.50 worth of basil is a lot. I came home and I made my dressing. So I have three glass jars of this amazing dressing in my refrigerator. I use it on blanched vegetables. I use it on my salads. That's my salad dressing. So my sweet potato squash casserole, what I had it with for my dinner today. And I also had a piece of blackened wild salmon. So that was my meal today. And I tell you, it was so satisfying and delicious. My kitchen is still smelling wonderful with all the aroma from the different spices as the dish baked. So that was a little bit about what I cooked today. My breakfast this morning was a mango and papaya smoothie. And that, again, was amazingly delicious. All right. Again, I am still looking for a co-host / producer. And please send me your resume or bio to DynamicDaphne12@att.net. DynamicDaphne12@att.net. Send me your resume out because I'm looking for someone to work alongside me here. We also are hosting a cruise for the breakfast feeding program at the Carmel Moravian School in Jamaica, West Indies. And we are encouraging you to be a part of the cruise. Inbox us for more information. The cruise will be June the 14th through the 20th next year, 2014. So if you want to support the children with the breakfast feeding program, we ask that you support us on that cruise. We are also looking for some volunteers for the A New Day TV show. We tape in Danbury, Connecticut, and we are on Charter. We are on SoundView. We are also on Comcast in Cromwell. So we are looking for some volunteers. You get 3 hours of free training, and it helps to make you more marketable. You can get that free training and you can be looking in the newspaper or online and you can see a job where they're looking for a producer. And because of the training that you got from volunteering, you can apply for that job, which would be a paid position. So that, again, if you're interested in helping and you believe in what I'm doing, I ask that you send me an inbox message right here on the radio show, and we will get an application out to you. You can be living in Brewster, Danbury, Newtown, New Milford, Bethel, anywhere in the area that you live that is close proximity to Danbury. We would welcome you giving us a helping hand. So, again, grab your papers. We are going to be sharing some information from the gluten-free, soy-free, vegan blog here by Camille. Camille I met at the farmer's market, and there's some articles here that I am going to share. and you can go alongside with me as I share these articles, and you can also read them along. There are lots of amazing recipes here on the blog. So the blog is called Gluten-Free, Soy-Free, Vegan: Foods That Feels Good. Now, there is she had a guest blogger here. This blog is from the 21st of September. She had a guest blogger whose name was Brian Blump, and I'm going to be reading Brian's article for you. And Brian writes, "Carrots and veggies, no meat. Oh my." Today, I have a guest post from my friend Brian Blump, with whom I worked this summer. He describes himself as a non-vegan who appreciates the lifestyle and wants to talk about his experience with food and how he came to eat vegetables. Realistically, I am the last person who should be writing for this blog. If possible, I would probably get a side of steak with my steak and politely ask the waiter for a glass of bacon bits instead of a beverage. So, I could dribble some over my main and side steak. However, after spending practically an entire summer surrounded by vegetables and vegans on an organic farm, my view of vegan culture has changed dramatically. I used to laugh at the salad eaters at McDonald's while I pound down my second Big Mac, but now I can't even go into a fast food restaurant without questioning the process the meat was obtained or if what I was eating is actually meat. The change, in all honesty, came from necessity on my behalf. Living on a farm without transportation, I had three options when it came to eating. Number one, ask one of the nice care-owning farm employees to drive me to the market to buy what I need. Number two, use the vegetables that were literally 20 feet from my cabin door to cook. Three, starve. After my social anxiety prevented me from asking someone to go out of their way to drive me someplace, I contemplated just not eating since I didn't have meat, but then realized I would have a hard time explaining to my mother how I died of starvation on a farm. So I grabbed some vegetables from the field, Googled vegetarian vegan recipes, stole spices and oil from the community and commercial kitchen, and by stealing, I totally meant borrowed. I'm definitely restocking everything from my college dorm and made myself dinner. After a week of this, I noticed something very peculiar. I didn't die. I spent a whole week without eating meat or cheese, and I was still a functioning human being. I didn't know what to think of that. Later in the summer, I was joined by vegetarian and vegan teenagers on the farm, and for convenience, shared meals together. Since my cooking talents are one level below prison chef, the others cooked, and I was again deprived of meat and dairy. The same result occurred, no death. Not only was I not dead, I actually found myself having more energy than I usually did. Waking up, although still painful, became easier slightly. I didn't always need to take a nap immediately after work. I didn't change anything but my diet, but I noticed difference. And with a little push from a friendly vegetarian, I stopped eating cold cuts and other unhealthy processed foods. My meat, dairy intake was dropped exponentially, and I feel healthier because of it. Does this mean I will convert to my newly respected vegan lifestyle? No. Blame it on the bacon. I believe the only reason people can be vegan is because they haven't tried that crunchy fried pig meat. However, I now have a better understanding of how to eat better after living in a vegan environment, and this comes at the perfect time too, as I'm about to head off to college where yesterday's meat loaf is today's chicken palm. So I thank you, vegetarians and vegans, for helping me put the bacon eater from Wendy's and add some lettuce and tomato. I may not be one of you, but you have certainly gained my respect. Isn't that amazing? What they say, don't hit it unless you try it. And a lot of times we don't want to try something because we say this or that about it. But I just respect this young man's experience, because I grew up on a farm in Jamaica, and most of the times we never had meat, but we weren't educated about vegan and vegetarian lifestyle. We just know we are cooking what we grow. And that was amazing. So if you're just joining, feel welcome to call 646-915-8166 and share with us your experiences about this. So I'm going to continue sharing some more articles from Camille's blog here. Gluten-free, soy-free, vegan blog. All right. Now I'm going to be sharing vegan teriyaki stir fry. Now that broccoli and red peppers are in on the farm, I decide I need to make a stir fry. Following this recipe I found at the Plant Power Kitchen, I whipped up a truly tasty meal I will make sure, I will make twice as much because we ate it all in one sitting and were wishing we had more for lunch the next day. I didn't have cashew at the time, so instead I used roasted chickpeas, nuts, and I think they tasted even better. Lacking a good substitute for tofu, I just left that part out, and it cut down on the cooking time, which is always a plus. Roasted chickpeas nuts. This is one of my favorite quick snack because it is easy to make and kid friendly. You can throw it on top of most meals or munch on it alone when you need a quick pick me up. I found this recipe in the Voluptuous Vegan by Myra Cornfield. And I love it. In fact, I never have enough of these, so I usually double or triple the recipe. Just make sure to set the oven timer so that you don't forget and burn them all. I've done that too many times. And the ingredients is 1.5 cups of cooked chickpeas, 2 tablespoons vegetable oil or coconut canola or olive oil, 1 tablespoon lemon juice, 1 tablespoon minced ginger. Sprinkle with cayenne pepper and sprinkle of salt. Preheat the oven to 375. Mix the ingredients in a bowl and pour onto a baking pan with parchment paper if you want an easier cleanup. Cook for about 45 minutes until the chickpeas are golden brown, small and crunchy. Stir occasionally in the process to prevent burning. Serve hot or packed away for later. Next thing I'm sharing here from the gluten, soy-free, vegan blog is a cauliflower and zucchini pakoras. It's P-A-K-O-R-A-S. I asked my housemate, Fred, to write up the recipe for his pakoras since they were such a big hit at an Indian-themed community dinner. Lucky for us, he agreed to, So what follows the recipe he used to make them. If you are having any sort of party or just want to celebrate life, I highly recommend these little snacks. What on earth is a pakora? A pakora is generally a vegetable dipped in a seasoned garbanzola flour or graham flour base batter and deep fried. Pakoras are relatively easy and fun to make and are certain to be a crowd pleaser, even among children who aren't too fond of vegetables or even those who don't have much of a taste for Indian food. You may eat them with your fingers as a snack or as an accompaniment to a sumptuous banquet or anything else along this conscience of meal scale. This recipe has been adopted from Lord Christmas Cuisine, The Art of Indian Vegetarian Cooking. I tell you, when you go to her blog and look at it, you're going to see that they are so delicious. I have to get me some flour, and I'm going to have to try these. The first step in paraga making is to gather an ingredients pile. Here, what you'll need to make 25 to 35 pieces. 1 1/3 cup of chickpeas flour sifted, if you are into sifting. I'm personally not a sifter. 1 1/2 teaspoons of salt, 2 teaspoons of your favorite oil, 2 tablespoons of grounded coriander, 2 teaspoons of ginger powder if you have it, 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder, oil for deep frying. I use XVOO extra virgin oil, olive oil. 1 head of cauliflower, a zucchini. Step 1. Mix the flour with the salt and 2 teaspoons of oil and coriander powder and ginger powder and baking powder. Add a few teaspoons of water and mix thoroughly. Continue to add water until the consistency is like that of a heavy cream. Consistency is important for proper cooking. Let it sit for 10 to 15 minutes and stir again into quick consistency is still right. Step number 2. Heat 2 5/3 inch of oil in a deep frying vessel of your choice until ready for frying, which is about 355 degrees or so. Step number 3, dip 5 1/4 quarters of the cauliflower florets or zucchini half moons into the batter, letting the excess drip off, and then one at a time carefully place into the hot oil. Fry until golden brown. Take out and put in a colander or on the plate with paper towel or cloth towel to absorb the excess oil. Step number 4, serve immediately. After letting cool enough and safely to consume, or keep warm for a little while until ready to serve. Note, if you want to increase the experience, you can make some sort of yogurt dip sauce, including shredded cucumbers, cilantro, salt, tomato, or something along these lines, or veganese. They will be very enjoyable without dipping sauce as well. Okay, let me check and see if anybody's on the phone, because I am going back and forth from the switchboard to the phone. All right. Okay. Welcome to guest 2975. 2977 to the show. All right, so we are continuing here And we just shared two delicious, delicious, all right, there is another thing called garlicky cilantro slaw. As we saw from the past post, cabbage is both very high in antioxidant and in season right now. Thus, I ask Madeline to share with us today this phenomenal cabbage slaw that she brought to our last community dinner. I highly recommend you stock up on some farm fresh cabbage and serve this at your 4th of July feast. As long as you like cilantro and won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. Hi, my name is Madeline, and I am a former Riverbank farm intern. I have lived on a couple different organic farms and have learned a lot about eating seasonally. I currently work as a nurse, but my husband works on the farm, so while I may not get to eat the veggies right out of the field, I do get to eat my fair share of delicious fresh veggies and farm market trade treats like cheese and cookies. This recipe uses many ingredients that are abundant and delicious right now. All right, I just pushed my thing. My mouse is not working, so I'm going so far up. All right, now where are we? All right. It's the recipe inspired by the chutney recipe from Madhur Godfrey's cookbook, Flavors of India. It uses Caraflex cabbage. My husband brought his love for this type of cabbage from Germany, and we started growing them at the Riverbank farm. It makes the cutest little pointed heads, like little Jerome hats, and is especially sweet and tender. Regular white cabbage and works as well. The other seasonal stars are garlic, scrapes, the flowering stalk of the growing garlic plant, cilantro, and pleurite onions, a small early variety of onions. Guess what color they are. This slaw was a big hit at our Indian theme potluck last week when we had lots of breads and curries, but not much in the way of fresh salads. Ingredients: 3 to 4 cups thinly sliced cabbage, 2 purplette onions sliced, 1/4 cup roasted salted shelled peanuts and or almonds, 3 garlic scrapes, 2 more purplette onions or 1 small red onion or a bunch of scallions, 3 cups freshly finely chopped cilantro, 2 fresh green chili or a firm snake cayenne pepper to taste, 1-inch piece of ginger, peeled and finely chopped, a teaspoon of salt, a tablespoon of maple syrup, a tablespoon of lime juice, 1/4 cup olive oil. Combine the ingredients and slice onions in a bowl and set them aside. Put the nuts into an electric blender and chop until finely ground. Add the rest of the ingredients in the blender and pulse them until smooth with light texture. Dress cabbage and onions with the dressing and let it sit for 30 minutes to let the flavors combine. It is looking really good, really delicious. All right, the next one, thinking holistically about cancer. If you read my blog, Camille says, a lot, you might have noticed quite a few of my recipes came from my good friend Meredith Hickinson. Well, today she has written a guest post that asks us all to think critically about current cancer treatment methods and the importance of healthy living. Every year, a website called Cancer Monthly has hosted a scholarship program designed to promote out-of-the-box thinking around cancer treatment. They invite students to read about the life of a special cancer victim named James Ryo Okana, and then discuss how his story has inspired them to think differently about treating and preventing cancer. Ryo Okana was diagnosed with mesothelioma, a cancer of the protective stalk that surrounds internal organs. Mesothelioma is associated with exposure to asbestos. You can learn more about mesothelioma from the blog survivingmesothelioma.com. Classic approaches like chemotherapy or radiation haven't proven effective in this treatment. Ryan's case was deemed untreatable, but he didn't interpret his diagnosis as a death sentence. He worked with his doctors and developed his own holistic treatment plan. He overlived his prognosis for many years by studying his body and his illness and choosing natural pathways to healing. As a medical student who believes deeply in holistic or a whole person healthcare, Ryo Okana's story resonates with me. His approach to battle cancer is an affirmation, of my core beliefs about wellness. Good health is a product of healthy living and emotional stability over time. Ryan's story is an excellent example of sometimes we hear about frequently. People surviving a terminal illness by utilizing treatments beyond what Western medicine has to offer. The success of those patients may lie in the difference between Western medicine and the healing practices of another culture. Non-Western medical traditions often view each person as a system and attempt to balance that system as greatly as possible. Western medicine goes after the illness exclusively without worrying too much about what causes the illness or how toxic the cure may be. When I heard that someone has been diagnosed with cancer, I imagined the hour of painful therapy, the stress placed on the patient's family, the pile of medicine bills and medical bills, and all the undertaking without any real certainty of survival. If the day comes when I find myself walking out of the oncologist's office with a bad prognosis, I would immediately resort to the standard course of treatment. As a scientist, my first step would be to collect the data. That is the livelihood of my survival on this drug. If I don't survive, what will be the long-term impact of my health? I would also want to speak with people currently undergoing the treatment and ask how the drug has altered their quality of life. Many common cancer therapies are extremely hard on both the body and mind. Whether or not I opt for a chemical or surgical treatment, I would make changes to my lifestyle to modify my body. I would educate myself on how its normal functioning is weakened by my cancer and tailor my diet to encounter its effect. The root cause of the cancer is often poisoning from radiation, toxin lax food, or dangerous substances like asbestos in our environment. With that in mind, I would attempt to manage my cancer by relocating to an environment low in pollution. Raina O'Connor's story is evidence that spiritual balance is vital. Many cancer patients struggle with depression. I wouldn't wait for a depression diagnosis to start various forms of therapy, support groups, but also stress reliving meditation, yoga, and massage. Although Western medicine continues to seek chemical silver bullets, the simple pathway for stress to illness is well documented. While many people have used diet, mind-body techniques, and natural medicines to beat cancer, these treatment options remain too expensive for many. This is because insurance providers look to Western doctors to determine what's effective, and Western doctors rely on money from pharmaceutical companies to test the effectiveness of potential treatments. Pharmaceutical companies won't fund testing of something they can't make money from. Drugs and surgical instruments bring in huge profits for big farms. helping a cancer patient choose her diet more carefully does not. Neither do meditation or yoga classes. Despite the vicious cycle, there actually has been a few moments of research, a fair amount of research on the effectiveness of holistic cancer treatments. A good diet leading to increased energy, a strong immune system, and a healthy weight has been identified as a powerful tool for cancer patients. Studies from all over the world have concluded that cancer victims who do look to other medical traditions for help feel stronger and more survived longer. For me, however, the best medicine is always preventative medicine. That is rarely owned to the memory of both cancer survivors like Rhina O'Connor and the victims who even the most state-of-the-art treatments could not save. Is the promise of a cancer-free society, holistic medicine, which outlines healthy lifestyles for disease prevention, is the key. Holistic practitioners will tell you that that where you live is part of how you live. There is a growing body of research indicating that environmental toxins contribute to the incidence of many cancers, including those that affect children. One of the best ways to protect you and your family from cancer is to be aware of your environment. How clean is the air and the water? What manufacturers are active in your area and how do they dispose of their waste? If you do live in a relatively toxic-free environment, the next step is to take a hard look at your diet. There are established links between diet-related conditions like obesity and diabetes and an increased risk of developing certain cancers. So, good balanced nutrition is critical. Choosing foods high in cancer-fighting antioxidants may also help. Antioxidants have become a fad with the health-conscious people, but they are nonetheless very powerful. These substances found naturally in many plant foods break down toxins that might otherwise poison your cells and lead to cancer. To help you include as many sustainable antioxidants in your diet as possible, there's a little chart at the end of this post that shows which high antioxidant foods are available in which season. I'm going to check again my switchboard. I want to welcome guests 670-86775 to the show. If you have an input that you would like to contribute to the show, please feel welcome to call 646-915-8166. Right now we are sharing from the blog gluten-free, soy-free, vegan foods. So If you click on that blog, you can go along with me, or you can just call in. We have another 34 minutes remaining in the show, so you are welcome to call in at any time and be part of the conversation. Okay, so we are going back here. All right. So let me continue here. Diet alone can't prevent conditions like obesity that place you at high risk for cancer. Choose forms of exercise that not only help you maintain a healthy weight, but also reduces stress. Your body and immune systems are in their best fighting shape when you are strong and relaxed. A final thought, cancer may not be catching, but it is a social illness. It attacks individuals, but everyone feels its repercussions, as diseases like HIV have taught us. The best way to defeat a social illness is by banding together as a society. We should be inspired by figures like Ryan O'Connor to fight back, explore any treatment option open to us, refuse to let big industries drive choices about our health, and work together towards a higher quality of health, of life, that will reduce the risk of future generation. More than any drug, those are the components of a lasting cure for cancer. All right. Let's continue here on. Okay, asparagus. The high antioxidants food are asparagus, squash, cabbage. All right, there are quite a few more, but the typing is so fine, but if you go to the blog there, you will be able to find it there, and you can read that for yourselves. Local garlic all summer long. It's one more article here. The scapes are in season, and Laura gave me a tip on how to process them so that I can have local organic garlic in my food all summer long. This is pretty exciting for me, since this time of year it is harder to find any local garlic bulbs for sale. And although scapes are in season now, they won't be for a long time. They won't be for a long time. We finish harvest all of ours at the riverbank today. The best part, not only is this scape pure and easy to make, it makes cooking with garlic a breeze. Plus, you can feel good about knowing you have added one more local, hopefully organic ingredient to your dinner tonight. Okay. Now, so here is how you make, and the scrapes are the tall stalks on the garlic. Ingredients: scapes, about 2 handful, coarsely chopped, olive oil, 1 cup or less, blend in a food processor until finely puree. Store in a large jar in the fridge, and use a tablespoon as a replacement for 3 cloves of minced garlic. In any stir fry, salad dressing, soup, stews, etc., if you have the ingredients, make some extra and store in the freezer to use when you run out of the first batch. Laura says she keeps hers in the fridge and it lasts all summer until the garlic bulbs are harvested. So this is reminding me of my dressing I told you I made with the basil. Briefly about scrapes. If you don't know what they are, a scape is a long flowering stem that grows out of the garlic plant before it flowers. However, we pick it off, which makes the plant put energy into creating a bigger bulb. These scrapes, pictures above, taste just like garlic and make a perfect addition to any meal. I also hear a rumor they can be pickled, but I haven't explored it yet. See, lots of good stuff. Lots of good stuff. Grilled carbonara, K-A-H-L-R-A-B-I. Here's the next posting, which seems to be a series of kohlrabi recipe. What can I say? It's a new love. Anyone, I brought this to a picnic and everyone seemed to love it. So, why don't you give it a try? Ingredients: 4 bulbs of kohlrabi, peeled and diced, 1/4 cup of olive oil, 1/4 cup of soy-free coconut aminos, tablespoon of molasses, 3 cloves of peeled garlic, salt to taste, pepper to taste. Tin foil. Ooh, they look good. I haven't cooked them yet. I saw them at the market yesterday, but I haven't tried them yet. Mix all ingredients in a large Tupperware and let it soak in the flavor. Add more olive oil and soy sauce if you need it. You are looking to have enough liquid to cover the kohlrabi, depending on the Tupperware you choose. You can also shake it ever so often to make the liquid soak in the kohlrabi on top. After that same vegetable has marinated, or while it is marinating, heat up the barbecue or go to someone else's picnic. Spoon the kohlrabi into tin foil and sit it in half, split it in half, so it don't get too big, and place on the barbecue. Grill the kohlrabi until it is really soft and has been golden brown. Spot, and then transfer back to the Tupperware with the marinade and serve warm. Enjoy. Enjoy. All right, moving right along. Then that same vegetable now is done curried. I'm still so excited about kohlrabi, so I had to try this recipe for kohlrabi curry when I found it. Although it didn't turn out to be my favorite, I did enjoy a new way of eating kohlrabi, and my housemates love it. The best part about this recipe is it uses both the kohlrabi bulb and the green. And green, meaning you get more for your money. The greens were better when I better than I expected and actually tasted quite a bit like Swiss chard. Note, I steamed the kohlrabi instead of microwaving it, but I think next time I might just saute it with garlic and onions. I found this recipe posted by Cook's Hideout. Ah, vegan baked beans. With a lot of potlucks already happening this summer, I decided to try an old family favorite, baked beans. I followed this recipe and it came out great because I don't really like spicy foods. I use half of the peppers called for and left the Tabasco sauce Roasted kohlrabi. That's the I'm not pronouncing it right. They have them both in purple and green, and those were some of the pictures I took yesterday at the farmer's market, but the file is too large to upload. But as soon as I cut them down, I'm going to go upload them to the episode. Last week, I met a new vegetable named kohlrabi. And let's just say it was love at first sight. I was completely enthralled by how beautiful it is. And since trying them for the first time, I've become obsessed. The easiest way to eat these raw, after peeling them, you can munch on them like an apple, chop them and eat with your favorite dip, or share them in with other vegetables. I found raw, they taste like radish, but with much more flavor. However, not wanting to stop there, I decided to try roasting some. Oh man, they came out tasting like a spicy version of broccoli with an amazing texture. They were the perfect thing to top off the very large salad I made post farmer's market, because that, what better way to celebrate a farmer's market than making a salad? Looking good too. The ingredients was the kohlrabi, the more the better, peeled and julienned, olive oil, salt and pepper, and nutritional yeast. I'm not sure what that is. Heat the oven 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Put the kohlrabi in an oil baking sheet, making sure they all get coated with oil, and sprinkle with salt and pepper. Roast for about 30 minutes until golden brown. Remember to stir about every 15 minutes. Once the kohlrabi is fully cooked, softer and browning for the edges, sprinkle generously with nutritional yeast and serve. These make a great addition to any salad, but can be snacked on plain. All right, let me again check my radio link here. All right, still no phone calls. Ah, this looks so delicious, so delicious. This is asparagus pasta, born and raised in Roxbury. Roxbury is the town over from where I live here. And they are very prominent at the farmer's market that I go. I can't believe I made it home just in time to catch the end of asparagus season. Inspired by Laura, co-owner of Riverbank Farm, my housemates and I decided to try making some asparagus pasta. Who knew it would be so amazingly tasty? Freshly braised asparagus pasta, immersed in creamy asparagus sauce and topped with broiled asparagus. Whoa! This is definitely my new favorite meal. Too bad I will have to wait another year for more asparagus. If you have some left, I highly recommend making this tasty dish while you can. It looks good. Let me see if they have the ingredients here that they put in it. Yes, they did. Oh, yum, yum. 5 bunches of asparagus. GF pasta. I really like the Queen and Garden pagoda pasta. 1/4 cup of olive oil plus some more for frying. 1/4 cup minced sun-dried tomatoes, plus extra for topping. 1 avocado. 3 teaspoons of nutritional yeast. 3 teaspoons of soy-free veginase. 1 teaspoon of oregano. 1 teaspoon so delicious coconut milk. Not canned coconut milk. Juice from 1 lime or lemon. Use 1/2 of each. 1 teaspoon paprika. Salt. We use Himalayan rock salt to taste. Oh, I'm telling you, it looks delicious. Set aside 3 stalks of the asparagus. You will boil these for the topping. Chop the rest of the asparagus stalks and divide them into piles. It would be good if one pile had nicer pieces, such as the heads and slim stems, and the other pile has the chunkier stalks. Make sure you have 3 cups of the chunkier stalks, which you will use to make the sauce. Start cooking the pasta when it's almost cooked, but has maybe 30 seconds, 1 minute left to be fully cooked. Add the pile of nicer pieces, heads and slim stalks to let this cook for about a minute. The goal is to cook the asparagus until bright green and tender, but not so that they start to lose color. If you have already, steal about 1 cup of water from the pot and set aside. You will use this in the sauce. Then for about a minute, or when the asparagus is bright green, drain the pasta asparagus mix, rinse with cold water, set aside. While the pasta cooks, you can start cooking the sauce. Start by braising 3 cups of asparagus stock. Saute the asparagus on high heat until brown. Then add about 1 cup of water from the pasta pot and continue to cook until tender. This should go about 5 to 10 minutes. Combine the braised asparagus with the rest of the ingredients minus the topping in the food processor and puree until smooth. While this is happening, drizzle some olive oil over the 6 preserved stalk of asparagus pieces. Broil these in the oven until crisp but not burnt. Chop and leave in the extra sun-dried tomatoes. This will be the topping. Finally, combine the cooked pasta and asparagus with the sauce and top with the broiled asparagus pieces and minces of sun-dried tomato. Enjoy. I'm telling you, people are going to be hungry after they listen to this this episode today. They're going to be very, very, very hungry. All right, we have around about 12 minutes remaining. I think we can do one more blog here. And I'm hoping, I see if I can have her, Laura, on next week. Simple kale salad here. Hi, everyone. You might have noticed I haven't posted in a few months. I've been busy on wrapping up my Peace Corps service and moving back to the U.S. just last week. Luckily, I found a job working at the Riverbank Farm, an organic vegetable farm in my hometown. Hopefully, in the next couple of months, I will be able to post a lot of food made from our wonderful fresh produce. So, to start us off, kale is in season. We are growing these types of 3 types of kale at the farm: Red Russian, Lacinto, and Curly. For this simple kale salad, I like the Red Russian the best. It is a very tender and a bit sweeter than the others. A bunch of Red Russian kale or other varieties of kale, salt to taste, a slice of freshly sliced lemon. Sprinkle the kale leaves with meaty part of the stem and the coarse chop. Throw in a bowl with the amount of salt, sea salt. While with clean hands, massage the seasoning salt into the kale. This seems strange, but massaging the kale with the salt will break down the kale until it releases its juice and become very tender and tasty. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Yes, I like this. I have made a kale salad, but I've done mine with avocado. And you heard me share earlier on today the one I made for that. So here are the ingredients. A bunch of the red Russian kale, sea salt, a slice of fresh sliced lemon. Strip the kale leaves off the meaty part of the stem and coarsely chop. Throw in a bowl with a small amount of sea salt. With a clean hand, massage the sea salt into the kale. The stems seems strange, but massaging the kale with the sea salt will break down the kale until it releases its juice and becomes very tender and tasty. Note, be careful not to add too much salt. It is easy to feel like the massaging itself worked as fast as you expect and think you need to add a little more salt. Maybe you do, but do it slowly. Otherwise, you will end up with some salty kale salad. All right, so I am just praying that you have gotten some insight, some beneficial insight from this episode today. And again, remember, we are looking for volunteers to help us here and also to help us on our TV show, which is taped in Danbury. So please, if you can send me a message inbox me right here on the radio show, or you can send me a message on Facebook, or you can email me at dynamicdaphne12@att.net. And if you have not yet connect with me on Facebook, I ask that you do that. If you have not connected with me on Twitter, please be a follower. And if you have not yet connected with me on LinkedIn, I want for you to do that. I'm always looking for amazing stories to share here on the radio show. And if you live in my local community here in Connecticut or upstate New York, I'm looking for guests for my TV show as well. We are on in Danbury on Comcast, Newtown on Charter, Bridgeport on Soundview, and Cromwell on Comcast as well. So I'm always looking for amazing stories to share. And again, remember the cruise coming up next June of 2014. I would love to have some of you on there. I would love to have some of you as volunteers going down to Jamaica with me as well to launch the breakfast feeding program. This breakfast feeding program is for the elementary school students at my former school, Carmel Moravian School, in Westmoreland, Jamaica, West Indies. God has called me to do this, and I know I cannot do it alone, but I'm trusting and believing that each and every one of you will pull together and to help me accomplish this magnificent goal. Again, you can get more information about all these projects on by sending me a message via email, dynamicdaphne12@att.net. You can contribute to the breakfast feeding program by visiting gofundme.com and you see the breakfast feeding program. Or you can do so by donating via PayPal by using the email dynamicdaphne1@att.net. And regardless, any amount that you would want to donate will be helpful to us. So please, I ask that you support us. Help me to feed these children. There is no donation that is too small. None. And last but not least, if you like the work I do, and you want to work alongside me, I'm looking for a producer slash co-host, and send me your bio or resume by inboxing me here and send it as an attachment, or you can do so on Facebook, or you can do so via email, dynamicdaphne12@att.net. I would love to have you join me. And for all of those who join me tonight, guest 2975, guest 2977, guest 6708-6775, all of you who joined, and those of you who are listening on your smartphones or on your computers, I honor you, I love and respect you for doing so. And I hope that next week I can have Camille from the gluten-free, soy-free, vegan blog to come on here and just share some insights with you in person. So again, have the blessed week ever. And remember to make educated choices when it comes to your foods that you are eating, not only for you, but for the well-being of your families. This is Dynamic Daphne saying, follow your dream, follow your vision, but in order for you to be able to live your destiny, you ought to be doing so with a healthy lifestyle. Have the blessed week ever.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
and direct it, hallelujah, to my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this place. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came.